In today's Mishnah, we're in the 18th and final Mishnah, the first parak of Masechet Avot, and then we'll begin the second parak. The Mishnah begins. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. This is the grandson of Shimon, or Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Hazaken, who was mentioned in yesterday's Mishnah. So he said the following, Al Shloshad Vrim Ha'olam Omed. The world stands on three things. And having already mentioned Al Shloshad Vrim Ha'olam Omed, that's why some of Farshim explained the Girsa should be Ha'olam Kayam, that as opposed to the reason for the creation of the world, which was Torah Vodah Ugulat Chasadim, here we see what sustains the world. And that is, as the Mishnah explains, Al Hadin, which is judgment, Al Ha'emet, Va'al HaShalom. So here, the importance of Din is interesting here. The Ma'ana Yeshua explains that this relates to the position, or it's consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon and Gamaliel as part of the debate between Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Akiva said, this is referring to a Beit Din of 23 that executes someone for committing a capital offense. And Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva were of the opinion that they said that if we were ever on a Beit Din, we'd never execute anybody. Forget once in 7 years, we'd never do so. However, Rabbi Gamaliel was very adamant. He says, if you do that, the language was, af hen marbim shofchei dam b'Israel. If there's no fear of punishment, then that would increase the amount of people that would be murderers in Am Yisrael. In other words, there's a necessity of din, necessity of judgment and enforcement of law in order that humanity can survive or be sustained. The next is Al Ha'emet, which is truth, and this is one understanding here the Kati explains is referring to Masa Umatan, which is referring to business dealings with one another. And again, this is necessity for culture and humanity to continue. And finally, Al Ha'Shalom. Here, referring to the way the Kati explains it, between states, between countries, and also bin adam l'chavro, this is necessary. And it's based on the pasuk shne'amar, emet u'mishpat shalom shiftu b'sharechem. One translation is, execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. Here we find emet, we find mishpat shalom. In fact, I'm saying why the Mishnah lists them in a different order, but I'll leave that for further study. Let's now learn the first Mishnah in the second parak. Here we are introduced to Rabbi. Now, Rabbi here refers to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, also referred to Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and is referred to as Rabbi, just by title to the Rebbe. Now, why is he referred to as Rebbe or Rabbi? A few explanations. One is, according to the Rashbas, that there was no one that could compare to him in his generation, so he was therefore referred to as Rebbe. The Machzor Vitri, however, explains that he was Marbitz Torah, he taught Torah in his generation far more than any of the other, the Nesim that preceded him. So what did he say? He says, Ezu derech yesharash yivor lo adam. What is the right path that a person should take as a philosophy, like, or a derech, a path how someone should behave? So the Mishnah explains, Kol shehi tiferet lo oseha, or lo osa, v'tiferet lo min hadam. That which is considered pleasing in the eyes of Hashem, and also pleasing in the eyes of people. Now what would that be? So according to the Rambam, this is the way Kati cites it, this is referred to as what's well known as a golden mean. So using one example, is you shouldn't be to either extreme, except for, there are a few exceptions to this, but that's another matter, on the spectrum of a particular character trait. Not to be too stingy, but don't be too spendthrift. One should try and condition his character trait to fit in the middle path. We've explained that Oseha or Losa is referring to Hashem, and Mir explains that's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Po'el v'Oseh Kol Davar. He acts and causes everything in existence to move or to work. Let's continue. He also continues by saying, V'havi zahir b'mitzvah kala kabochomura. Be very careful with what appears to be a light mitzvah. Take the same care with it and treat it with the same seriousness as that which is chamura, which you think is being chamur. So what's kal and chamur? One understanding is that which is perceived as being easy or difficult. Another understanding that some of us should explain is it's referring to an expense, something that's kal, something that has no expense, something that's chamur that someone has to spend a lot of money on, that it's extreme. And that's generally what people think is more valuable. However, be careful with both mitzvot, be light or extreme or chamur or difficult, to the same level. Why? Because you don't find in the Torah explicit mention of the difference in reward. You find that by punishments, but not by reward. And so therefore, since you don't know, it might just be that a light mitzvah carries with it a far greater reward than one that you perceive as being difficult. It says, V'havi mechashe hefzed mitzvah, keneged schara. And also calculate, yes, certain mitzvot will require a effort and will require a loss, but consider that loss compared to the reward one will get, the schar that one will get in the Olam Haba. Or schar arvevra, any profit you might get, that you might perceive you'll be receiving from doing a transgression. For example, if someone ate something they're not meant to, the benefit they get, that fleeting benefit of eating something they're not allowed to eat, with the connected hefsed, the great loss that will come with as a result of that, the punishment that one will receive, latid lavo. And its mission then continued. Vistakel b'shloshav derim. If someone just looks at these three things, if you do so, v'yata b'ali de'aver, one not come to a sin, or coming even to the into the environment that will produce sin. What is that? Da mala mala mimcha, you should know that which is above you. Now, simply said, that's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Nefer Chaim says, he says, you should know what's above you, meaning, and this he goes into in his Kabbalistic work to quite a lot of detail, or call it Kabbalistic, but the Nefer Chaim, it has a lot of Kabbalah inside it, where he explains that through one's actions, be it positive or negative, one creates or destroys worlds in the upper realms. So you should recognize what is above you, then there's the consequences of your actions. Returning to the simple understanding of the Mishnah, understand what's above you. What is that? Ein ro'e, an eye that sees. And now the Kadosh Baruch can see everything that a person does. Ozen shomati, can hear everything you're doing. V'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nichtavim. All your actions, they are recorded in a metaphoric, if you like, a book. What's interesting, Rabbeinu Yonah asks, why are we using these very human descriptions, like an eye, an ear, when we don't usually associate with the Kadosh Baruch Hu? In loguf, he doesn't have a body. So the understanding is, Rabbi Yonah says, is that these are the three things that a human being can relate to. He knows about what his friend does. It is degrading, and his friend will be embarrassed about doing, by either hearing about it or seeing it. And once it's done, the person wants to wipe it from the record, but the fact that it's recorded is, again, embarrassing to this individual. So if someone understands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees and hears, and everything's recorded, they'll certainly be embarrassed to commit anything that's considered negative or do any transgression because of the embarrassment that it will cause him. That's what saves one from sinning. Those are the Mishnah today.